Building a defense for our faith in Jesus. So today we're talking about science versus the Bible. So probably be best for you to open to Job chapter 28. We'll get there eventually, Job 28. Now last week we had an introduction to apologetics. Matt did a great job of doing that, and he said that we don't do apologetics to win an argument. If all somebody wants to do is try to win an argument, well, you win. God bless. Have a good day. But here's the problem. The first thing you ought to ask someone is this. If I can present to you evidence that proves Christianity to be 100% true and accurate, would you become a Christian? And most atheists would say no. And then there's some that have. Quoted live on television. So here's the idea. Even if you have evidence that proves Christianity to be 100% accurate and true, some people are still not going to believe it. It's a sad thing. So Jesus says in the parable of the soils, Matthew 13, verse 1 through 23, talks about that seed's got to fall on good soil. It's got to be in good ground in order for it to take root, be watered, and grow. Because the ones that fall on the wayside, Satan comes along and takes it. And the ones in stony ground and all that, that gets choked out by the cares of this life and all that stuff. There's only one that grows with good ground. And so that's what we want to do. So here's the thing. If somebody wants to win an argument, that's not right. If all you're going to do is just present evidence and somebody's still not going to believe it, well, that's not going to do you any good. But for those that have serious questions, for people that want to know why you believe what you believe, why do you believe so strongly in your Christian faith? This is where we come in. And this is where you need to build some type of defense. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, the NLT says it this way. It says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks you about the hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in gentle and a respectful way. Keep your conscience clear that if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Now, your apologetics is twofold. Number one, you have to know something to give a defense, right? Hello. Okay. And secondly, you've got to live it. It's not just knowledge, it's a lifestyle. You have to live what you say you believe. That also is the second part of your apologetics, your defense for what you believe. This is our verse for the month. This is our key verse. Have this memorized. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The NIV says it this way. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Folks, we need to be destroying arguments that come against anything that exalts itself above God. Martin Luther King Jr., in his book, Strength to Love, which is just a book that it was a collection of his sermons on specific topics, and he criticized those who saw a divide between science and religion. And he said, quote, science investigates, religion interprets. Science gives man knowledge, which is power, but religion gives man wisdom, which is control. Science deals mainly with the facts, but religion deals mainly with values. The two are not rivals, they are complementary. End quote. He also went on to say in his book that science keeps religion from sinking into the valley of crippling irrationalism and paralyzing obscurantism. Those are fancy words. Matt used some last week, so I thought I'd use a few of my own. So let me give you those definitions. Irrationalism. Irrationalism is a system of belief or action that disregards or contradicts rational principles. Rational thought process. Listen, the Bible and Christianity does not do that. It doesn't go against rational principles. For instance, the Kalam cosmological argument. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. This is one of the best ones. I love this one. The Kalam cosmological argument says that everything that begins to exist had a cause. Now, if you go through the scientific laws, the proven laws, such as cause and effect, The effect will never be greater than what caused it. Okay? You did not create you. Something outside you created you. Amen? The trees didn't create themselves. Something outside of a tree created a tree. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Something outside of that created that. So when I talk about the universe, the cosmos, the Kalam cosmological argument says that everything that begins to exist has a cause. And so for years they began to try to refute that and say, well, the universe is eternal. So nope, didn't have a cause. And then they came into a problem when Albert Einstein came with this theory of relativity. Because if the universe never had a beginning, would we be here today? No. And that's where we come into problems. So they realized, based off of Einstein's theory of relativity, the universe had a beginning. Time, space, and material had a beginning. So, according to the first, everything that begins has to exist had a cause. We know that the universe began to exist. There's a beginning. Time, space, and material were created. So therefore, if one and two are correct, then number three is correct also. Therefore, the universe had a cause. So that's where we start. The universe had to have a cause. Now, here's the problem. And we argue this based off this argument. Something outside time, space, material had a beginning. That's the beginning of time, space, and material, all the way back at the beginning. We're not there, so we don't know, so we can't recreate that. But something outside of time, space, and material had to create it. A timeless, spaceless, immaterial being. They say Big Bang, whatever. But here's the thing. Something that has to be powerful enough to create a universe with all the planets, with all the stars, and with all the scientifically proven laws, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of gravity, the laws of the speed of light, all this stuff. Something powerful enough outside of time, space, and material had to create all that. And the Kalam cosmological argument, well, I don't say God the Father, Jesus Christ, all that. I would just say it proves some type of intelligent design. And science won't argue with that. Because they'll agree with aliens. They'll agree with intelligent life. But just not a creator God. That's amazing. And for those that go even deeper into things like this, Lawrence Krauss is an astrophysicist. And he deals with a lot of the atomic level. And so in material, at the atom level, you see things popping in and out of existence. And so what happens is he goes, oh, inside of an atom, we see things popping in and out of existence. Guess what? If we put that in a universal level, that's how the universe came to be. It just, boom, big bang. There it is. Popped into existence. Explanation, no need of God. However, there's a problem with that one. And that's where we come to the next word, obscurantism. That's a fancy one. Obscurantism is just the practice of deliberately presenting the facts or full details from becoming known. See, Lawrence Krauss won't tell you that that only happens in an atomic level. And it's inside of material. You have to go into an atom to see something popping in and out of existence. You will never see anything outside of material popping in and out of existence. Now, the second thing he won't tell you is that atom, the things that happen at an atomic level do not happen in a universal level, in a cosmic level. The universal cosmic laws that Isaac Newton came up with, the laws of time, the speed of light and gravity and all those things, they are not the same laws that affect atoms. They're different. You can't take the laws that are in an atomic level and use them for the cosmos, and you can't take the laws in the cosmos and go all the way down and prove that in an atom. They're two totally different things. But they hide those details because they don't want nothing to do with God. And so that's obscurantism, hiding things from the public, kind of like our government. Who knows what's true? But the Bible doesn't do that, nor does science. Now listen, everybody has a bias. I'm biased towards my biblical view. Atheists are biased towards their atheistic view. So when we speak based off of our bias. So like I said, everything has a bias. But they're biased off of the same data. We all have the same data. The facts are the facts. And this is the problem that we have because it's not that science says anything. Science don't say nothing. Scientists do. Science doesn't teach you nothing. Science teachers teach you. Hello, amen? You paying attention? All right. Science gives you data. Science gives you facts. How you interpret those facts, that's up to you. It's kind of like the scripture. The scripture has one truth. How you interpret that, and that's the problem that we have, is so many people, we're on different levels. We're not on the same page. And that's what Paul tried to get everybody to be. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, he says this, be like-minded. We're all supposed to be on the same page. 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I plead with you guys, by the name of Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Unity, that's what he was after. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, he says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be of the same mind. We're supposed to be of the same love, the same everything. We have the same spirit indwelling us, and we all should be giving God glory the same way. Amen? He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, be of one mind. And the problem is that we're not. We're not on the same page. There are too many divisions. There are too many denominations. So many people have bought into evolution. Evolution science is fact and it's truth. And so these people want to take what can't be proven and apply it to the Bible to make it fit. Don't put in the Bible what's not there. You pull out what's already there. And so we have so many people with, for instance, like the gap theory. If you've ever heard of that, the gap theory says that Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, in between those two verses, are about millions of years. Some say billions of years. And so there's all kinds of things that happen between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. We have, if you're an advocate of the C.I. Schofield reference Bible, the King James C.I. Schofield, he was an advocate of the gap theory. And so what you would do is, as you would read his little notes on his commentary in his Bible, you would see the gap theory and his thoughts and his bias. And so that's why I say be careful what you read. Everybody's got a bias. And so just, it's okay to look at those things, but just know what you believe. Do some research. We have champions of apologetics today that I think are doing more damage than good. Frank Turek, he is probably one of the greatest apologists of our time. Man, he does a great job alongside of William Lane Craig. William Lane Craig is the greatest one for the Kalam cosmological argument. So if you want some more based defense from that, look him up. He'll be a good one. But Frank Turek, one of the greatest, oh my goodness, philosophers of the time to back up the Bible. He believes in the Big Bang Theory. And he believes the universe is 13.7 billion years old. I said just some things. Now, I don't know how old the universe or the earth is, but man, we're so divided. And the problem is that nobody does their homework. Nobody wants to look up the truth. I mean, Acts 17:11, you can write that down, but don't take my word for it. Take God at His. You study it out. You research it. Man, if I'm saying something wrong, you come up and you make sure you withstand me to the face like Paul did Peter. Don't let that false teaching go on, but the research that's being done today, many of our younger generations are believing in subjective truth. Subjective truth is, well, what may be true for you, that's no longer true for me. But the problem is that that's not true. We have absolute truth. Amen? Something's either true or it isn't. That's the law of non-contradiction or the law of excluded middle. A line is either straight or it's crooked, one of the two. It can't be what's true for you is that, well, that's straight. Well, no, that's crooked to me. So what's true for you? No. One is right, one's wrong. That's, you can know truth. It's absolute. And I don't want to get into this, but you can do your research on this one. This is one of the greatest ones, and it's mathematics. Mathematics are non-material. They're not spiritual, and they're not time and space, but they exist. And it's funny because you go and look this up. You can't do science without mathematics. But science can't prove that mathematics exists. But nonetheless, they exist anyway. And they're absolute. It's kind of funny. So anyway, 1 plus 1, I'll just use this. 1 plus 1 is 2, right? Is it 2 today? Is it two yesterday? Is it two tomorrow? One plus one will always be two. It's eternal. It was true in eternity past. It'll be true in eternity future. It's true on Earth. Is it true on Pluto? Is it true in this universe? Is it true in the multiverse? One plus one will always be true. Period. There's absolute truth. And you can know it whenever and wherever. And that's the point. Truth never changes. But science does. Remember that. Truth never changes, but science does. One of the leading atheists of the world today, Richard Dawkins, he said this: if children understood that beliefs, and that's what we have, we're just Christians, we just have beliefs. He said if they understood that beliefs should be substantiated with evidence as opposed to tradition or authority or revelation or just your faith, they would automatically work out for themselves that they are atheists. But don't we have evidence as Christians? We sure do. Matter of fact, it's even in the definition of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I love that. My faith is not blind. I have substance and evidence based off of everything that I believe. Isn't that amazing? Now, let me give you some evidence here. Just briefly, there's so much, and we really don't have enough time to go into it on a Sunday morning doing stuff like this. But let me just give you briefly this one. In Greenland, I don't know why it's not called Iceland, because Greenland is north and it's full of ice, and then Iceland is south and it's green. But anyway, so in Greenland, there's this little thing that happened that kind of baffled scientists. So back in World War II, this guy went down and he abandoned his plane and it crashed in Greenland. And he come back some 50 years later, some 48 years later, to find it. And he did. And he found it in 263 feet of ice 48 years later. And it was a conundrum to scientists because, according to science, the ice layers up there form 1 inch per year. So if it's 1 inch per year, 12 years, you've got 12 inches, that's 1 foot. Okay, so 268 feet, 1 inch, and 212, 250. So that's like 3,156 feet, right? Or 56 years. So if it's 1 inch per year, 12 inches per foot, are you with me? Where's my mathematicians? Okay, so 263 feet times 12. What is that? 3,156 years. So that plane's been down in the ice layers for 3,156 years. Problem is, the guy 48 years later, earlier, abandoned it. It's only 48 years old. So the problem was is they had to come up with a different theory on ice, and then they come with a different theory on ice layers moving, and then things begin to happen, and all this stuff. So they had to change their science. And then they try to prove that that's not accurate, and that's not how things happen, and it's funny when you find something that disproves science that they get mad at you. Like, it's my fault that they were wrong. But I'm not saying you don't trust science. Don't get me wrong. Please don't take words out of my mouth. I'm not saying that you don't trust science. Trust provable science. Amen? Hello? Trust provable science. Do you believe in the laws of gravity? Amen. So do I. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to get up on the roof and jump off onto the parking lot. That's dumb. Yellow. And you know what? I can take something every time and say, proven, laws of gravity. Here it is. I'm going to prove it again. There you go. That's proven science. So I'm not saying that science isn't provable. Matter of fact, just for giggles, Isaac Newton, a Christian, he found the laws of gravity. Many Christians have found all the natural known laws because, as we're going to talk about, knowledge points to God. And God has given man knowledge. Amen? All right. So, listen, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, in the NSB it says it this way: Timothy, protect what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. I'm not talking about proven truth. I'm not talking about absolute truth. What I'm talking about is the things that are false knowledge, false science, so-called, that hasn't been proven or can't be or has been proven false. We need to protect God's word because it's the truth. Amen. Jesus said it was the truth. In John 17, 17, he said, your word is truth. God's word is truth, and it's something to be treasured. Listen, Jesus is called the word of God. I love this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. It says, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the what? The word of God. Jesus is the word of God. In John 1, 1, John says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1, 14, and the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Jesus is the word. He was the word. The word is him. He's true. Or the word is true. Or no, he is true. All that's true. In John 14, 6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. He is everything. And so since that is true, we should treasure him. We should treasure his word. We should treasure he is the word. We should treasure it all because his word represents him. It is him. Amen? And this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Take this down. Make note of this. In Jesus, talking about Jesus, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So let me pull this together a little bit to give you what I'm trying to say. We should be looking into all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We should be looking into Jesus so that we can know some of this stuff. Albert Einstein said this. He said, the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible. You can really understand everything in the universe. That's amazing, isn't it? Look, God wants to be known. He's revealed himself through all of this stuff so that we could search him out, search how this stuff was created. There is a desire that God has put in our hearts to search him out. Remember last week, Matt talked about that emptiness, that hole that God has given every man, and only God can fill it. Amen. And people search and search and search, but they don't find it until they come to Christ. Job chapter 38, verse 36. Job writes, who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? It's God. God has done that. Let me, back in China, some 4,000 BC, 3,500 BC, somebody decided, just for giggles, you know, I'm going to take this cocoon of moth larva and I'm going to soften it in warm water, and I'm going to unravel it until it's just a fine little string. And then I'm going to wrap it around itself enough to where I can use that to make some type of garment. And you know what the end product was? Silk. Isn't that amazing? People pay thousands of dollars for larva spit. That's awesome. That's awesome. The spit of a silkworm. And people pay thousands of dollars for that stuff. Oh, my goodness. Where did they come up with the idea? Where did they know how to do that? God. Who puts wisdom in man's mind? Who puts knowledge into people's hearts? God does. Why do you think that we're so smart? Above the animals, I'll say. So, yeah, sometimes it's not the case. So Job, God allows some bad stuff to happen to Job, and he's wondering why. And so him and his buddies are sitting around the campfire, and they're going through this big discussion of why all this stuff happened to Job. And he's talking about this, and this is where Job 28 comes into play. They're sitting around giving a theological discussion, but not only theological, but also scientific discussion. And this is awesome. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read a little bit of this, and he says, surely there is a mine for silver, verse 1, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness, and he searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people and places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men, and they swing to and fro. And as the earth, as for the earth, from it comes bread. It's talking about on top of the earth. But underneath, it's turned up as by fire. Its stones are the sources of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions, they have not trodden, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eyes sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, oh, it's not in me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir and the precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry, a fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It's hidden from the eyes of all living, and it's concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we haven't heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its ways. He knows its place. He looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it, and he prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Oh my goodness, is there some awesome richness in there? He talks about the weight of the wind. Do you know science have found that the atmospheric pressure in the air, is it actually has weight to it? And you know the song that says, who told the morning where to come to, and who brought the ocean to stop at this exact time? It's God. And so what he's talking about, he says, Job, go do a little bit of science. But listen to verse 11, Job 28, verse 11. He says, he dams up the streams from trickling, and he says, what is hidden, he brings to light. What is hidden, man brings to light. Man is the only one who is curious enough to search out, to bring to light the things that are hidden. We're the only one. Food, that's found on top of the earth, but man is the only one to go down into the depths to find these treasures. He's the only one that's curious enough to go to the deeps to find these gems, these golden nuggets. I picture dwarfs, if you were reading and paying attention. Talks about men swinging on ropes, going down into the depths. If you see in the little fantasy land, the little dwarves, and that's what they did. They were sitting on little wooden platforms, and they let themselves down. They keep mining, and they go deep, 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 deep down into the earth. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about mining. He's talking about mining down into the depths. No animal does that. They don't go down far. Birds have never been able to see down that far. And the question comes about, why does man do it? Why do we search that stuff out? Excuse me. Because we remain different than the animals. That's why. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let man have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over every creature, over all the earth, over everything. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're the only creature created in the image of God. Animals do things based off of instinct. But man does things with a thought out plan, because that's exactly how we were created. We were created in the image of God. We were given the ability to look around and examine the things that we see around us. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. The NLT puts it this way. They know the truth about God, because God has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth, they've seen the sky, they've seen the universe. They've said, this is the Kalam cosmological argument. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power. Something powerful enough had to create the universe and his divine nature so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. Absolutely none. Man is excuseless. We don't have time to get into it, but if you were to turn some time, go to Job chapter 38. Chapter 38 has foundational principles, and God is testing Job. He's like, hey, Job, why don't you go here? Hey, can you go down into the valleys of the ocean? Can you tame Leviathan? Can you do this? Can you go up here? Do you know where I keep all the snow before it falls? Do you know where I hide all the rain? Can you go down into all the depths? Can you search this stuff out? Where can you find the answers? And of course, we know that all wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Jesus. It's a treasure in Jesus. He knows all things. So God is challenging Job. He's like, hey, do some science, man. Go put that science to practice. Do some stuff. Get some knowledge. Look, Christianity is the only worldview that is foundational for searching out the deep and hidden things to bring them to light. The Bible is absolutely the celebration of God's awesomeness. We should be diving into the Bible to find all those treasures of richness, to give us the evidence that we need from the stuff we see all around us. When God created the universe, this is how omnipotent he is. He is all powerfulness. So not only did he just create the universe by speaking it into existence, but he also holds the universe together. Listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, the NLT says, in him, or in Jesus, God the Father created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things which we can see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. He existed before anything else. And here you go. And he holds all creation together. Now, do a little physicists doing a little physicism. It's a lot of physicism-ling. So physicists tell us that they have no idea, scientifically cannot prove, what holds protons and neutrons together in the nucleus of an atom. The cohesive force that is holding them together is a mystery to them. Matter of fact, you can do this in a universal level. All the material that makes up the entire universe would go into chaos if Jesus wasn't holding it all together. I've said these before, and I like them, so I'll probably say them again. If the moon was any closer to the earth, the United States would flood twice a day. God's holding that back. If the earth was closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If it was further away, we'd freeze. Absolutely a wonderful, beautiful thing. And God holds all of creation together. By the word of his power, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, says this in the NASB, he is the radiance. Jesus is the radiance of God the Father's glory. And he is the exact representation of God's nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. It's how powerful our God is. Matter of fact, he created the universe by just speaking it into existence. And he holds all creation together just by speaking it as well. It's an amazing thing. David Hutchins, in his book called Let There Be Science, and I've taken some of these principles from that, but he said this, God loves science, and science needs God. I thought that's amazing. Look, let me give you one last one, and we'll finish up here and be done. One of the greatest proofs of Christianity is what's called enemy attestation. If I do not believe in something, I am not going to be an advocate of it. And that's what enemy attestation does. If you're an enemy of a view, but then you become an advocate of another view that you protest. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not a Christian. He hated Christians. Did not believe in Jesus Christ. He was not his Messiah. Paul was a Jew, a Jew of Jews, matter of fact. And so he hated him. He had letters. He persecuted, killed them, had letters in his hand on his way to do more damage to the church. But a miracle happened. He came in contact on the road to Damascus with the risen Jesus Christ. and he walked away with a changed lifestyle. Let me tell you something. You can't come in contact with the risen Christ and not walk away with a different lifestyle. Amen? But listen, as he was about to be beheaded in Rome, he's before Festus, one of the governors, and he's giving a defense of his life before Jesus and after Jesus. And listen to what he says in Acts chapter 26, verse 24. The ESV says it this way. And as he was saying these things in his defense, and that word defense, by the way, the Greek word is apologeomai. And that's where we get apologetics or apology. It's the same word that Matt said last week was apologia, which is Latin for we get apologize. It's not that we're sorry, like he said. It's we give a defense. It's a courtroom term. We're giving a defense for what we believe. So here's Paul using that in action. He is giving an apologetics answer, a defense before Festus. So Festus says this. He says with a loud voice, he goes, Paul, dude, you're mad, man. You're a madman. You're great learning. You're studying of the Bible. You're looking into this religious book. It's driving you out of your mind. And listen to Paul's response. He says this in verse 25. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind. I'm not mad. Most excellent, Festus. Oh, Festus, live forever. He said, but I am speaking true and rational words. Some translations say, I'm speaking logic and reason. Isn't that amazing? Christianity is not illogical. It is not illogical. Matter of fact, it is logic and reason. And for the most part, it makes sense of the world around us. Absolutely makes sense of the world around us. I would say it this way. Knowledge leads to God. The more you search out true, absolute knowledge, absolute truth, the closer you'll find God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're growing in knowledge of everything, right? We grow in knowledge all the time. The latest thing, the latest app, the latest social media platform, the latest this, the latest how to do this. People are growing in sports statistics because every year they change and they add new ones on. We're constantly growing in knowledge of something. Your stock numbers, your retirement benefits, whatever. We're growing in knowledge of something. But this is the most important question that I'm going to ask you. Are you growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because he is going to be your best defense. And if you are growing in knowledge and grace, my second question is, are you living it? Knowledge is only the first step of defense. Living it out in your lifestyle is the second. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for a defense. Thank you for, you know, God, if scientists could disprove everything that your word says, we would have to question what we believe. But it doesn't. You've given us evidence. You've given us substance and evidence for what we believe, what we say we believe. And even though we believe some things by faith, just to believe, we have evidence. We have something to back up. We can demolish arguments. If it were not true, your word would not have said it. Jesus said, your word is truth. And if there's a defense in there, we should be knowing it, living it, and destroying every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of you. God, we give you this month just to build a defense, and we're studying your word, and we're going through so that we can be saturated with your word, so that we can grow in knowledge and grace, and then defend what we say we believe in our lifestyle. I pray that's the case, God. And if there's someone here that maybe they don't know truly that they're a child of God. Maybe they don't know truly that heaven would be their home. Lord, during this invitation, I pray that your spirit would just cut them at their heart and bring them forward. We'd love to show them what the Bible says. You can know for an assurity that you have heaven and eternal life. And I pray they'd walk away knowing for an assurity that they have heaven and eternal life. Lord, may your church be more excited about serving you, growing in knowledge and grace, and building a defense so that they can go and destroy arguments against you. We commit this invitation to you, Father, and we just pray you have your way. And we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.